Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League. Now. Welcome. This is Triple M NRL. Right now.
And how good to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, all leading towards kickoff. The Raiders taking on the Warriors. I am with Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. And look, before we just bag each other for 3 hours, we've got to get to the talking point. What everybody gathered around the water cooler this morning they're talking about is last night it appeared the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger. We thought it was extinct, but it's not. The Golden Point penalty is back.
We've got to talk about the elephant in the room.
What's that?
You're almost 60 and you're wearing double denim today.
Oh, yeah.
Double denim.
Yes.
Honestly, you're a brave man.
Are you serious?
Not many people could pull that off at your age.
The Canadian tuxedo, we love it.
Who are you? It's like I'm talking to Giorgio Armani or Hugo Boss here.
No.
What are you doing?
I'm more academy.
You've got denim shorts on.
I like it.
You've got denim shorts.
The single denim's okay, Tony. It's that when you double up, you know, it's a statement.
I'm going to need to put a picture out there for the Instagram followers later and let them
have a look at this.
Can I just say this is not denim? This is a shirt I bought in New York City, ladies and gentlemen. It's not denim whatsoever. It is a much classier fabric.
We'll get producer Tom to take a photo.
I'm not afraid of double denim.
Double denim
is very 2000 and what are we at, 18?
Yeah.
Very 2018. Thanks so much, Giorgio.
You're pulling it off there.
Wait, what about you, Hoops? Thoughts?
No, I'll stay out of this one. Definitely struggling in the fashion space myself.
I'll just leave
that outside off stump.
Yeah, I'm not really going to bag you because I was a bloke who wore overalls to a rugby league game one time and the boys just gave me...
You wore
the dungarees?
Yes. Tommy Hilfiger overalls.
Yep.
Shirt underneath?
Was it fancy dress? Or?
No, I swear to God, I was that full of myself that I thought I looked good.
Did you? Were they sort of calf height with boots on?
No, they were the long ones, Tommy Hilfiger, and then I undone like a wrapper would. And like, honestly, Kevvy Wilders and the boys just went, mate, what are you thinking? Like,
Were you shirtless underneath?
That was at another time I did go Sunday session shirtless. Mate, it was in back then, Hoops.
Was that just turning up to a game to spectate, or was that your game attire?
Yeah, going to the game. I thought I was like an NFL star, so I rocked in. So I was always a bit different, boys, so you know.
Wow, really? That surprised me. All right, let's look at that scoreboard. Thanks to Tyre Power. We'll reiterate what we said at the very top of the show. I know you're itching to get at it. You're not itching to get at whether I'm wearing double denim or not. You're itching to get at this 9-7 scoreline, the Broncos over the Tigers. As I mentioned, the thylacine, the Tasmanian Tiger Hoops, it has arrived. A penalty in Golden Point, 86 minute of this game.
Yeah, it's impossible to disguise, isn't it, Tony? It's left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. We heard from the Tigers coach, Ivan Cleary. He's normally pretty calm and mild-mannered and measured, Ivan, but you could almost see the steam coming out of his ears in that press conference.
Well, just before you go, let's have a little listen. We do have that press conference. This is Ivan Cleary speaking after the game.
I feel for the boys, you know. I mean, I feel for the crowd. I feel for everyone.
You even think it was a penalty?
No, I don't. So, there's one thing, do you give penalties in Golden Point, which historically we just don't. And the other one is, was it a penalty? And I actually don't think it was. So, look, we all make mistakes, but that's a big one. And, you know, I mean, I think you can tell by the way the Broncos guys reacted. Like, it's almost like they're embarrassed to have to win. Throws Golden Point into a whole new light, I think, because I don't see why. You know, was that a spectacle that the game finishes like that tonight because of that?
Ivan Cleary speaking after the game, 9-7, as we mentioned. Tigers fans want to hear from you, 133353. Were you robbed? Simple question. Give us a simple answer, 133353. Yes, Del?
Oh, look, whether that's right or wrong, I just applaud the referees giving a penalty in that point, you know. We haven't seen it for ever, and I reckon that's the positive thing about it. Mate, whether it's right or wrong, I'm glad that they're actually blowing for a penalty.
What?
I just don't think the game should be decided by that. decision. Yep. And that's the disappointing part. I know the referees are out there and they've been, you know, given a mandate this year to clean up all aspects of the game that we're finding out. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be, you know, the ruck and the play the ball and obviously the professional foul, and they're consistent with that. But this one for mine, I went through the three different field goals this morning. So obviously, you know, the first one that was kicked by the Broncos with a couple of minutes to go, the markers were square and they didn't leave early. Yeah, and they got it, and they got the opportunity and they converted the Broncos. Then it went down to the other end with about 45 seconds to go, and then it was the Tigers' chance. And same thing, the markers were square and Luke Brooks got a good shot at it and it went through. So then when I went to the latest one, the Tigers... They left a little early.
Robbie Rockhart.
And they were never really square. But it was also the guy playing the ball was actually just turned just a little bit off centre. But so it's one of those things. I think you could find a penalty in most situations in the footy game, but it's just the referee's decision on when do you give it and do you give one to decide a match the way that he did last night. And was it that obvious? Was it that bad?
But all I'm saying is it's about time. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, they don't blow for penalties, you know, in Golden Point.
Well, hop off the fence, Wendell. Do you think it was right or it was wrong last night? Are you happy with it? You sound as though you are.
I'm happy with it. But I'm just saying, whether it's right or wrong, at least they're blowing penalties. Now, we've seen a lot of games decided where blokes have left early and that. So now teams will understand they're going to blow so you won't leave early. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, last year we whinged about it. We said we got to be positive about it. It's a positive.
It's
penalty.
A tough lesson to lose
times,
a game.
10 times during that game where they could have penalised for that infringement.
Do you think so, Tane? I went back over it last night and I was trying to find other examples. I know social media lit up and Tigers fans immediately identified that when Luke Brooks kicked his field goal, that the Brisbane Broncos markers, they believed, were not square on that occasion. But Gerds and I had another look and you can see that, in fairness, the ball is actually, you know, by that stage it was already clearing. So they're probably... You can twist and turn it in terms of when you freeze frame images, whichever way you like.
What are we going to do at State of Origin, though, boys? I mean, everyone's complaining about this, and I know we're a few weeks away, but do we want to see 20 penalties in an Origin game? Is that going to ruin the contest?
Yeah, well, I don't reckon it'll get to that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to chat with Bill Harrigan.
Well, the landscape's changing, you know, and that's what we've seen at the start of the season, and I'm happy for it, you know, in some cases, but I think there needs to be some empathy for the game and the fans and everyone that wants to go out and have a really good night out as well, because don't forget, like, I was down for that, you know, the grand final replay on Thursday night, and I was really excited about the game, and it was awful.
We're going to get to that as well with Bill Harrigan about the whole idea of the penalties and how many there have been this year. And we know that Todd Greenberger said, don't blame the referees, blame me. Mm. It's his direction. But first, though, as you imagine, there are fans who are bitter and twisted. The phone lines have lit up. 133-53 is the number. Jordan, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
I'm well. How are you feeling this morning?
Mate, frustrated. I mean, you know, we travel from the Blue Mountains. We travel an hour and a quarter to get there. My brother comes from Nelson Bay up at Newcastle. He's a season ticket holder. You know, he travels 2.5 hours to get there as he does every other home game. And to be gutted and robbed like that. Now, you can sit there, Hoops, and say that you've gone through and looked at other tackles and plays in that Golden Point. Mate, they're offside within the 10 metres. They're pushing markers every play. We did it. They did it. It's the same in every game. I've listened to Gordon Tallis and Wendell come out and say, you know, oh, they're happy with it and you can't blame the referee. Well, you can. You know, they've got to get these big calls right. You can't be doing that to fans, to the player, to the club. It's just, there's a big difference being 3 from 3 or potentially 3 from 3 and being, you know, two out of 3, maybe. It's just, it's gut-wrenching.
Jordan, I feel your pain because it would have been the first time ever that the West Tigers have won their opening 3 games of the season. So I understand where you're coming from in that respect. But at the same time, unfortunately, everybody has to accept referees are human. They make mistakes. They get paid to make judgment calls on the run. They're under pressure and it's subjective. Some people say you got it right. Some people say you got it devastatingly wrong.
But just seems to me Golden Point is the time you do look for the excuse not to blow it.
Yes.
I would have thought so.
And
like
I think that's the way it should be played.
That's what we've been doing over the last five, 6 years.
And Golden Point's been great.
No, it hasn't been. I'm happy with this. This sets a standard now, so players are going to know. I'm more than happy with it. Well done to the referees.
Wow, look at you. James, g'day. Was you robbed, James?
100%. Mm-hmm. It was just, I understand when your man hoops on that call there, but, you know, you got to be 100% when you blow up a penalty. And you've got, I can't remember who played the ball, but Peter Godinay and Robbie Rocha being pulled up for not being straight, but... if you look at the guy who played the ball, he didn't even play it straight to start with. He's got half his body pointing towards the sideline.
Yep.
Yeah, that's messy.
The whole thing was messy.
It was a mess.
You're right. You're right, James. Yeah.
And Matthew from beautiful Coogee, what do you think?
I just think if we're going to get that granular, there was four blockers offside. So if there's an edict in place for 2018 to make sure blockers are onside, well, how are you supposed to do a charge down when you've got people lining up so you can't get through?
That's a fair call. I like that. Even outside of the wingers, same thing. I'm 100% with that guy.
You would have penalised that as well?
100% I would have.
More penalties, golden point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the blockers didn't come into effect because it didn't get that far.
That's true. We've got plenty more callers to get to. We'll chat with them. We'll also hear from the greatest referee ever to lace on a boot and blow a whistle, Bill Harrigan.
I thought Eddie Ward was going to come on.
He joins us.
Stephen Clark.
Of course. Barry Gomes will obviously. Now, we are going to get to Bill Harrigan very shortly, plus more callers. This is Saturday Triple M and RL. Wendell Saylor, James Herbert, Ryan Gerler. I'm Tony Squires. I'm wearing double denim, and I'm just looking up on the internet, and it's the back in. It's the all the rage double denim.
Yeah,
no, Ryan Gerler.
And she looks great in it.
He's ahead of the curve, Tony. He's ahead of the fashion curve. The thing that I just noticed too, Tone, in that ad break was, or in that song break, was it's two tone denim. It's not all the same colour. He's mixing it up.
I've given a lot of thought. All right, we're talking about that penalty last night. The thylacine of the game, a golden point penalty that gave a win to the Brisbane Broncos over the Tigers. Last night, 9-7, 6 minutes into golden point, for the markers not being straight when the field goal attempt was being played from Jermaine Isaka, who is a good kid, by the way.
He's a very good kid.
This has just come through. We're going to get to more of those callers, and we are going to speak with Bill Harrigan. But referees boss Bernie Sutton has admitted West Tigers were wrongly penalised during their golden point thriller to Brisbane last night, the loss. He told Sunday Telly that Tigers back rower Robbie Rocco should not have been penalised, which obviously gifted the Broncos that penalty. So there you go. Ultimately, the penalty is
That's huge,
incorrect.
That is a massive story. That is a huge story that the referees are now clarifying this.
Sutton said the way Broncos forward Joe Offa-Hangawi had played the ball contributed to Rocco being ruled to not have stood square by referee Ashley Klein.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. They've said it's the wrong penalty.
But look, we understand that. But as Hoop said, it's... You're going to make mistakes. They're not going to get it right 100% of the time. Have you ever made a mistake?
Firstly, I really like that from the referees.
I didn't buy any property in Sydney.
Firstly, I really like that from the referees, and I think it's something that we've lacked over the last couple of years.
Yes.
You know, the day after the incident, putting their hand up and saying, we got that wrong, and, you know, and as Hoop said before, you know, everyone makes mistakes. It was a tough situation, given all the facts now and, you know, the benefit of slow motion and the things that we have there watching it on TV, and you can see, you know, the refs... They're making calls on the hop, and they've got a lot of moving parts to their decision, and that might have made it obviously look like they were not as square as they possibly should have been, and then therefore it's good on Bernie and the boys for putting their hand up, and it doesn't help the West Tigers and their fans, and they're the ones out there that are absolutely filthy at the moment.
I'm not sure it helped the West Tigers fans either, as Ashley Klein was leaving the field with security. Tammy Thayday came over and shook his hand just as he...
He
did. I'm not sure that would have encouraged those fans. We have fans on the line.
He's a good sport,
3353. Billy Harrigan is going to join us in a minute. Just a couple of calls before we get there. Mick from Liverpool. G'day, Mick.
Boys, how are we?
Yeah, good. So Bernie Sutton admits it's wrong. What are your feelings this morning?
Boys, I'm a neutral. I'm a Para fan, so we need any points at the moment, so hopefully they don't do that tonight.
Well, you had 54 points last week.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, I've got the perfect solution. When did it become so unfashionable to earn a point out of a game?
I love it.
The draw.
Yeah,
Don't talk about the draw, Mick.
Well, I love it.
Yeah. Don't start us up on the draw.
Both sets of fans go home disappointed. Yeah. Nothing better. Thanks, Mick. What about you, Charlie?
Hey, mate. I mean, Ivan's talking about spectacle. What about golden point penalties don't result in shots at goal?
Ah, there you go, Charlie.
So it's like the...
It's a reset of the set of six.
Like a differential,
penalty.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I like that
idea. I like it, Charlie.
I like that a lot. What about Ben? G'day, Ben.
Hello. Yeah, I'm a Tigers fan and a member, and I have to say that I'm supportive of that decision. Tigers had 80-odd minutes to win that game. They missed a conversion. They missed tackles. They dropped ball. If you're coming down, if you're whinging about one call at the end of the game, you don't really deserve it.
Yeah. Nice perspective, Ben, but the Broncos were pretty ordinary too.
But that's the matter, but you're going to get some tackles. You're going to get the rub of the green some games. Well said, mate. That's the attitude I want.
I don't. I'm a fan. I like to be bitter and twisted if I've lost, especially in Golden Point, especially with the thylacine popping its head
up. He's handled that well.
All right, a man who handled...
Took him 40 minutes to build up to that, Ben.
Yeah, that's
I can do it.
I think it was... I had to break it too. I think it was Dean.
It was Ben, all right.
Oh, it was Ben.
And
it was
Ben.
Wow. You stay in your box over there.
Oh, take it back. Wow. I like
it's got Dean up here.
Yeah, but you're looking at Wendell's screen.
And I can tell you who this man is. This man is Bill Harrigan, one of the greats. He joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, Tony. Now,
we've just heard, as you've probably heard from listening in, that Bernie Sutton has admitted that penalty last night was a mistake. What are your thoughts on what you saw unfolding?
Now, it's good that Bernie's come straight out and done that and put a little bit of a hose on the fire, because he had to anyway. It was a wrong call. Unfortunate for Ashley Klein. Wrong call. You've got to admit when you make the mistake.
That was one mistake. But what about the very notion? Are you for or against the notion of that whistle coming out and being blown during a golden point in those big moments?
Yeah, you've still got to have the whistle. You've still got the rules in place. And if there is a blatant offside or a marker is offside racing to put pressure on a drop kick, you've still got to give that penalty, because if you don't and it's warranted, then that's unfair to that team who are striving for the field goal and they don't get the field goal because they've been pressured by an offside player. So you've still got to keep the integrity of the game. You don't have to change the rules or anything. The rules are in place. But as a referee, you're very reluctant to blow the whistle. So you work hard in that extra time. You work hard with your voice. You work hard with your positioning and everything to try and prevent something like that. But when it does happen, we saw Matty Chechen do it last year. And it was a big call. Goal kick was kicked on a penalty for offside, and it was a correct decision. Unfortunately for Ashley Klein, he's blown the whistle. He's taken a bit of intestinal fortitude, blown a whistle in extra time.
You love intestinal fortitude, Billy.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah, I like that word.
So, Billy, so this is my question. Have you seen the incident?
Yes.
Did you think there was enough in it to decide the game on that penalty? And that's the question. We know that, you know, these guys, their rules are in place, but, you know, we know they get a little bit relaxed in Golden Point. Do you think there was enough in that incident to say, all right, I'm going to hand the Broncos the game now?
No, never should have happened, mate. So you're looking for something blatant, a blatant offside, a blatant marker offside and chops the play down. What happened there? No.
Yep.
No. Okay. That was one that you've... And there's no doubt that Ashley Klein wishes he had stuck the whistle in his pocket and just played on without blowing that whistle.
Yep.
Billy, I think I can hear you coming off the back fence at the old Endeavour Oval here. Let's go a bit bigger picture. What have you made of the referees over the opening couple of rounds?
I like it, because at the beginning of the season they were told to clamp down on the play the balls. They were told to clamp down on the kick chases, blockers, that sort of thing. And they've been doing it. There's been a lot of penalties, but instead of putting the onus on the referees and saying, refs, you're blowing too many penalties, let's go back to the coaches and the players and say, hey, guys, you were warned at the start. You've got to take some responsibility. Keep your hands off the ball. Put your foot on the ball when you play it. And we don't see half the penalties we're seeing.
So what do you say to Joey Johns, the eighth immortal, who was obviously highly critical of the grand final rematch Thursday night down at Amy Park?
Now, that one I can't comment, mate, because I'm up in Coffs Harbour running the big senior state Oztag champs and didn't see the game, so I'll hold back on that one.
Hey, just, Billy, I know you had a good off-season. What about the Legends weekend? You keep talking about how you could referee if they gave you 4 to 6 weeks. A little spy told me that you'd done your hamstring in 5 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah, I did the hamstring on the Wednesday, Wendell, before I got up there, but I still stuck it out for 2 games.
Wow, mate. Jeez.
Did it affect your performance, Billy?
He didn't referee another game after that.
Yeah, I pulled out after the second one. Down to semi-final and final to Steve Clark. He needed one.
Oh, wow.
Mate, the best players play hurt, Wendell. You know that.
Yeah, well played.
All right, Bill Harrigan, always great to talk to you. We'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks, gents. See you later.
Billy. There he is, Bill Harrigan. And just to wrap, I've got plenty of calls. We can't get to all of you. I know some are bitter and twisted, and some just have ideas about Golden Point and how we should change it to make it a fairer equation. That may be what Michael has for us. G'day, Michael.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
I just seem to think that at the end of full time, they both get a point for a draw, and then they get a golden. If you win the game, you should get 2 points. So 2 points for a win, but the losing team still gets a point for a draw.
But then that's a 3-point game. So that isn't
no,
that.
No, you get an extra point. So they both end up with a point each.
Yeah, which is 2 points. Yes. And then the extra points are 3-point game.
No, you're right, Dr. Maths. There is 3 points there. But I can still see, you think yeah, that
that's kind of unfair,
unbalances the rest of the competition because of that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I understand your point, Michael, but the notion that you play for the, you know, you have the draw, then golden point is just about picking up
I like Charlie's idea. I don't know. Was that his name, Hoops?
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie?
Yeah,
yeah, let's go with Charlie.
Oh.
Well, where he said that, you know, they're, you can't take penalty kicks
In
golden point, you just can't kick for goal.
Okay. So it's got to be a field goal or a try that decides golden point. I quite like that as well. All right. Let's look at that Tyre Power scoreboard one more time. That was 9-7, the Broncos over the Tigers. The other games, and we are going to speak with Josh Morris next, played his 200th, scored a terrific intercept try. The Bulldogs over the Panthers, 20-18. And in that game we're talking about with lots of penalties, the Storm, too good for the Cowboys, 30-14. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Obviously, the game this afternoon, the Raiders taking on the Warriors. Hopefully a few more points scored in that one than there was in the Broncos and the Tigers game. But we'll get to that and plenty of other things right now, though. It was last night the Bulldogs got a job done against the Panthers. What's this thing about 14-0 that the Panthers have, Gerds? They just love it, don't they?
Well, when they got to 14-0, the Doggies, I just thought they'd click in a gear, Penrith, but they just didn't. I mean, they lost Cleary, obviously, late in the game. And look, give the Bulldogs some credit, defended a lot better this week. But yeah, Penrith were nowhere near the side that that finished the game last week.
Obviously, the Cleary missing in the second half, and he was injured quite early in the game as well. So even the first half was it was a struggle for him. But coming back, I mean, you just can't do that week after week, come back from
it. It's a mentality thing, Dan, Tony. It's like... You start a game and you kind of wait to get into the groove. So they're sort of waiting for a lot of the energy and I guess a lot of the momentum to go out of the game, and then they sort of fire up and I don't know, maybe there's not as much pressure later on in the game when they feel like they're a little bit behind and there's not much to lose and they can play a little bit of footy. I'm not sure what it is, but they need to fix it.
All right. Well, right now we can get to the man who played his 200th NRL game and, of course, scored a try. Talking about Josh Morris. G'day, buddy. Well done.
Afternoon, guys. How are we?
Very well, thank you. Look, you saw the ball coming from a long way. There you went. Still had the length of the field to go. Never in danger of any of those young blokes catching you. Did you have to have a look at the big screen to see how far in front you were?
Yeah, I was looking at the big screen with about 40 to go. I think that's the first time I've ever done that in my whole career. But when I was about 15 out, I knew I was going to make it. So it was good. But the lactic acid afterwards... for about 10 minutes.
Well, that was just from doing the muscle pose for the celebration.
Oh, yeah.
The Incredible Hulk.
You guys channel on the big Dell there.
Oh, no. Mate, I don't do that sort of stuff, mate. You little lemon.
I've seen you do it at training, mate.
Yeah. He's right.
Hey, Josh, congratulations. Terrific result in your 200th game with the Bulldogs. Wanted to ask, what was it like inside the Bulldogs sheds after the game? Dean Pay's first victory as a coach, and obviously you have... had a fair bit of pressure applied over the opening couple of rounds.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. Obviously, Dino getting his first win, he was pumped, and a couple of the boys getting their first win for the club as well. It's a really good feeling, and hopefully we can use that confidence and that momentum into next week as well.
Josh, I know you and Brett have been under the pump a little bit, you know, with contracts and stuff, but, you know, you guys have just aimed up, and you want to stay there, don't you?
Yeah, look, I'd love to. I've been at the club for 10 years. It's been a big part of my life. And I guess I've just got to keep playing good football and the rest will look after itself.
Is it a little bit strange that you find the relationship like the rest of us between your two front rowers, Woods and Clemmer? Yeah. What's going on with those two boys?
I think they're just trying to be like me and Brett.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
with worse haircuts.
Yeah, speaking of that, you got a couple of brothers that play in the under 20s and stuff. You got Dylan, and there's a couple other brothers down the south coast. You're all very supportive of one another, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Dylan couldn't get there last night. Called the phone today, yeah. And just wished him the best of luck. And my little brother Matt, he's a good Oz tag player. So I think he's up at Coffs Harbour this weekend, going around. So it's still a big part of the family, and we're all very supportive of one another.
And very important for the forwards to stand up, and they did that. There was much tougher looking pack for you. Clement was great. Josh Jackson, as always, was terrific as well. And Woodsy starting to do what he's supposed to do, was run hard and then look for the offload. It was a much better performance.
Yeah, it was. We got a bit of a rocket up us during the week. Our intensity and our line speed and our contact was probably lacking against the Roosters, and they kind of punched through our middle. So being challenged in forwards in that respect, and then challenge the outside backs as well. Obviously, the Roosters' outside backs killed us on the weekend, and we needed to step up as well. And I thought, both the forwards and the backs stood up and answered the call, and we need to keep doing that week in, week out.
Yeah, you definitely responded last night. Josh, I'll tell you what, another bloke, one of your teammates who showed a fast set of wheels, Moses Mbai, was just fantastic at fullback. Is that clearly has to be his position now for the rest of the season. And what have you made of how he's gone about that transition?
Yeah, you'd like to think he's going to maintain that position. He's worked hard at it in the off-season. He's done a lot of extra running. He's always had that ball-playing ability, but I guess now he can pop up wherever he wants and just run more and bring him those kicks back. If he gets half a metre of space, he's that quick that he can get through the gap and make a line break. So, it was a great game for him last night. That'll give him a lot of confidence heading in the next week as well.
Josh, what have you made of the penalties and the stipulations? We know all the clubs were warned about clearing up the ruck and the play the ball. In terms of getting off your line and going a bit early, that timing thing, has it been difficult to adjust to the new look at it?
Yeah, it has been a little bit difficult. Last week, I think we got three or four penalties in a row back-to-back for leaving early, but the most frustrating thing was that they weren't naming the player who was causing the offence. So, if you get called for the penalty, you're gonna respond to it. But they weren't calling players' names, and it was a bit frustrating in that sense. But if they stick with it, soon enough we'll see. The players won't be getting penalised, and I guess they're trying to open up the game and play a bit more expensive footy.
It looks like a little bit of a timing issue, because you can imagine last year the guys were just allowed, like when they played the football, just to roll it between their legs. Yeah. So it's a smooth action. This year, well, they've got to put it down. So as soon as they put that ball on the ground, the line has been trained in the past to go, and then they bring their foot to it. So, yeah, it's a habitual thing that the clubs need to work on. It's not as easy, and we spoke to Craig Bellamy about it the other night, and he said, I can fix a lot of the ruck problems, with the discipline issues, he said, but the habitual ones are really hard. They take time, because guys have been doing the same thing and doing this action for a long period of time, and I need to break that habit.
Yeah, you're right. There's probably an extra second now in that play the ball where you're probably up 2 metres and you're getting pinged for that offside. And there's also the ref's interpretation to when he's played the ball as well.
Yeah.
It's front of the foot or is it the back of the foot? And now with that extra time, having to play the ball with the foot, you are seeing teams jump a bit early and getting pinged for it. So I guess it is a work in progress. And as I said, if the refs stick with it, we can all get on board with it. I guess it's going to open up a bit more of that expansive footy. There's not going to be as much line speed, so teams are going to be able to throw the ball around a bit more.
Josh, what do you make of the new young centres coming through now? Remember you coming through with your brother and your guns out wide, but Latrell Mitchell and these young guns, they've got some talent, haven't they?
Yeah, they do, mate. I think New South Wales is in a good position for our side backs coming through. There's plenty putting their hand up, and they're just going to play consistent football. That's the main thing. When you're young, you've got to try and be as consistent as you can, so your worst game and your best game aren't too far off. And if you see that from those blokes, no doubt they'll be putting their hand up for the Blues jumper.
All right, Josh, go continue to celebrate your 200th. Well done. It was with a victory and a try. Lovely to talk to you, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the club, Lemon.
There is
the Morris boys, we've got a running joke, we call each other lemons, so whenever they on my Instagram.
Do you want to expand on
Just like, it means you're a lemon,
when
like
you buy
a lemon.
A broken down car and that's what Dell was when he came to the
ground. I still blaze a minor premiership. How's your premiership ring going anyway? I've only got three, I'll just wind them up.
Buddy.
No. I love you, buddy. Good on you, mate.
You too, mate. Good, mate.
See you, Josh. Mate. Lovely to talk to
you. Mate, can I tell you, when I first went to...
Lemon.
Yeah. When I first went to the Dragons, mate, those young blokes, Brett and Josh, were really good because when you buy a 33-year-old who's virtually broken down, they were wonderful. So they came and watched you at Shell Harbour and they've been great with the young bloke too down there. So, you know, they're wonderful boys.
Lemon. So you just turned the lemon back on them as
well. Yeah, 100%. I did. Yeah, I said, but you guys are lemons. You're the one that can't catch and all this. And we were having jokes and that. But man, I'm so class. They're so classy. And I actually went to Brett's wedding, but Josh didn't invite me because he's a lemon.
It's a Saturday Triple M in a row. Just talking to Tigers fans. Push away those bitter tears.
Oh, that's nasty.
Push away those bitter tears.
That's so nasty.
Well, Penrith fans, obviously.
When you miss the finals again, Tone.
When
I can't wait. I'm going to rub it in. When you lose six out of your last 17 games.
No, win six out of my last 17. Yeah. That was last year.
Yeah, they're a different
team. I'm
happy
to lose six out of my last 17.
They're a different team.
When you win six out of your last 17 and miss the eight by 1 point again.
There was nothing wrong with me saying, segueing beautifully from the, you know, when Triple M rocks the footy.
You're telling
the song
Tigers
by In Excess.
After the referees admitted that they got it wrong.
I'm saying wipe away the
ribbon. You ripped him about double denim.
You called him Dan a minute ago too. You double.
Yes,
down.
I work a lot with
There's
Dan.
There's cracks in the brain.
Well, Dan's lost a lot of weight. You get like twins, mate, you two.
Oh, mate, Dan looks great.
You
look good too. But I haven't got a crush on him, but at the end of the day, I'm happy for him because he needed to lose a bit of weight.
Well, because he's doing a bit of TV
now.
Good on him, see him on Fox Sports.
Just a coincidence.
Television, as you know, it puts on 10 kilos and takes away 20 IQ points.
But he did a good job at our Triple M launch too, just quietly.
He did very well. That's something that our listeners don't know anything about. They do know about the Panthers. We just spoke to Josh Morris from the Bulldogs. He was on the winning side in his 200th game, 20-18. Tougher for the Panthers fans this morning, I would imagine, this afternoon, I would imagine, after that loss. And especially so, given the injury to Nathan Cleary. Now, he was injured early in the game. He didn't come back out for the second half. Obviously, a contributing factor to that loss. How bad was the injury? We're going to get Hoops to give us the very latest very shortly. Before then, though, just have a listen to Nathan speaking to Megan Barnard last night.
Got Nathan Cleary alongside me. Nath, how's the knee? We're hearing a grade one medial.
I think it's MCL, but they said it's a pretty high chance of ACL if I played on, so it's disappointing, but yeah, it's what it is.
You did it midway through the first half.
I think so.
What have the doctors told you?
Not too much. They just said it wouldn't be smart to play on, so yeah, just got to...
You had your head in your hands before. You must be feeling a bit dejected.
It's probably my first injury in first grade. It's not the greatest feeling, especially when I kind of dished up that first half. It's a bit disappointing, but yeah, hopefully the boys can get a win.
All right, all the best. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, sadly they couldn't get the win. Nathan Cleary's injury. Hoops, what are we looking at?
Yeah, speaking to people out at Penrith this morning, and look, the concern is it's probably about a 4 to 6 week injury. He's got to have some scans, and then they'll need to obviously just clearly medically identify exactly what the problem is. But as we heard from young Nathan there, it would have been detrimental to his knee and certainly to him and to the injury if he tried to go back out there. Real shame for the Panthers because they just seem to... lose a little bit of their fluency when he's not out there. As much as James Maloney's a senior player and played at all representative levels, Nathan, over the course of the off-season, it's been made clear he's the one who really drives that side.
Well, they lost their main ball player, and Maloney went in and did a pretty good job. But once you make him your number one ball player, then you need a number two. Peachy came on, and he's a great runner of the football, but he's not setting up his outside supports and calling plays and not going to help you with the kicking. And then it's a part of Dylan Edwards' game that I think really needs to develop. And he's a great running fullback, and we saw him come up with a nice try in that yesterday, and he's good in support, good under the high ball. He's got most areas of the game covered, but it just in those instances, when one of your halves go down, I mean, your fullback then needs to take a bit of a different role, say like a Darius Boyd, and it's going to take time to develop. But Nathan Cleary, well, he's been the guy basically, on the back of a lot of possession yesterday and over the last couple of weeks, especially in the second half, he's got the team home, whether it's been with his kicking game, with just being patient. Last week we saw him lay on the try for Peachy late. He threatens the defensive line so much that he's so willing to run the ball and take a knock that every time he goes to the line, the defenders need to pay really close attention to what he's doing, and therefore it allows his runners to, get one-on-one with the defenders and
He's just, he's a big part of that side, yeah. And they really missed him in the second half.
He's such a fantastic organiser. You look at those games that they trailed over the opening couple of rounds, and I don't think they come back and win those games in such emphatic fashion if Nathan Cleary's not steering the side around the way that only he can. Let me put you on the spot, Gerds. If you're Anthony Griffin, so we know that Nathan Cleary's not going to be available for between 4 and 6 weeks, do you roll with Peachy at 5'8"? Tyrone May is still injured.
Well, how far away is May?
He did his ACL at the back end last year, so he ain't back for a while. Long time. Yeah.
Look.
I'd go Isaiah Yeo. Just something different. Would you?
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to look. It's really going to test their depth out. I'm not really seeing anyone there. Look, I don't know if you go with. I don't know if you go with Jimmy to roll the side around the park. I know he can do a really good job, but then then Peachy goes into six. You know, I'm just not sure whether or not that's the best option for him. I think they might probably come up with a longer-term solution. Does Wallace move back into the halves and they find...
There's an option. There's a kid there who... Wade, I can't think of his surname at the moment, but there are big raps on him. Yeah. That could be the best option.
There's plenty of injury concern for the Panthers, isn't there? Sam McKendry, that knee, Tim Brown, and the ruptured bowel, which is shocking.
They've had a horror week,
Darwin Wood, Tini Zesniak, which we'll hear a little bit more from you, I think, about the extent of that injury. So they're looking early doors to struggle in terms of injuries.
It's been a torture week for them in terms of the injury front. You just touched on them there. To lose that many NRL players, and especially somebody like young Nathan, there's just so much excitement around this young bloke. I really feel for him, and I feel for the Panthers as well, because it's so important to their side, and he just looked as though he was going from strength to strength with every performance. Some of the things he'd already done over the opening couple of rounds, he stamped himself as... pretty damn special player.
Ruined my Dally M prediction as well. Anyway.
Hey, I don't want this to be a referee bagathon. I know we've spoken earlier today.
That's not what you said a minute ago. You said you blokes. I want you off the back fence, off the top turnbuckle.
James Maloney.
Launch. That's what you said.
It was an awful decision.
James Maloney. Do you have to fall over so that when they have a look at whether you're obstructed, they're going to say, well, it was obstructed to the point where he couldn't chase? Because Maloney pinned the ears back, and because he's quick, he got to the contest, or just about got to the contest. But, if he falls over, that try's not awarded, surely.
No, that's right. No, we called the game, and I think it was fair. I thought it was fair enough. I was just joking. I mean, there was a couple of decisions, I thought, in other parts of the games where he actually went through and there was an obstruction called against him while he had the football, which I thought was poor. But I think for that one, the players have just got to play what they see, and you got to make every attempt to get there and possibly shut down the try, and the refs are going to... they're going to make the call, and I thought it was okay. I thought he had enough time. It was a one-on-one miss by Dean Farrow in the end. It was a legitimate tackle that was, he didn't have his best night last night, Farrow, but it was one-on-one with him and Mbai, and I know that he might have checked his run just a little bit, Maloney, but if Farrow makes that tackle, well, then it's all. We're not even having this discussion.
All right, best of the best, thanks to Mungle Boots. That's next. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Good. Do you think, I know he's a good mate of yours, you can get in touch with the cooler, maybe we can have a chat with the cooler in the next hour to see what his thoughts are.
He'd be out at the track, I'd imagine.
Yeah, probably will be.
Oh, is his ban lifted? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's Rose Hill?
Yeah, Rose Hill.
Oh, no, he's only banned from Randwick.
Okay, cool. So maybe we'll have a quick chat with the cooler in the next hour, maybe get a tip for that race. I know that Winx is also having a bit of a trot around. Doesn't have to run
very
fast.
He doesn't like Winx, the cooler.
Which is jealous.
Why?
Yeah, just doesn't like him.
Really?
Really?
Got something against him.
Well, Winx apparently doesn't like people. Winx,
oh, really?
Yeah, Winx is a very, ornery kind of horse she is, yeah.
A what kind of a horse?
Ornery.
Oh, I thought you said,
what?
I thought you said something else.
No, I said ornery. It is time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, all thanks to Mungrel Boots, built for pure comfort. That's what a Mungrel boot is. Last week, I really enjoyed Best of the Best. It was the sidesteps, and I enjoyed the fact that you guys had either stepped or been stepped by people, which is terrific. So we thought we'd stay in the same kind of area with an activity on the field that you may well have been involved in. The best of the best don't arguers, the guys who could fend and knock a defender over as they, careered through. And the best of the best don't arguers. I'm going to start with you, Wendell Saylor. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go very close to home. I had a pretty good fan. Me at the top. Mate, I'm serious.
Such a surprise.
No, I'm joking. No, that was
good. Did he have a good fan? You obviously played against him.
No, he just ran over me.
No, on a serious note, boys, GI, I remember down at, what was that, Melbourne? Oh, that's right, Jamie Soward. Mm-hmm. Tried to tackle him, and I was trying to help him. I helped picked him out of the grandstand when he threw him out. So, GI, and then Mel Meninga, mate, great friend. So, big Mel, we all know what he can do. But one of my favourites, Gene Miles.
Oh,
I think very underrated. Yeah. When you talk about great centres and great players of the game, mate, he's a bloke that was in centre back row. And if you have a look at his fend, it was lethal.
Was he massively quick, Jen, or did he rely on his strength?
He was quick for centre, yeah. Like, played at Winter Manly, obviously Townsville boy, yeah. So growing up watching him, he was a legend. I don't think he gets enough credit.
Gene Miles, Mal Meninga, yeah. Side by side, they're a couple of big centres.
Unbelievable. You know, that's why he gets overshadowed, I reckon, Gene Miles, because everyone talks about Mal and forgets, you know, how good Gene was.
Hoops.
State of Origin, he was a weapon.
Unbelievable.
Miles,
yeah. Tough too. I wouldn't pick him in a fight.
I'm going to go with a current day player, Tony. So I'm going to go with the Sydney Roosters, Latrell Mitchell.
I've seen him recently.
Yes. Obviously, he's had a lot of comparisons with Greg Inglis, even though he's only in the early days of his career. But he can really get the right hand rocking when he likes to.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am going to go with, back to State of Origin again, back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Choppy Close.
Yeah, nice.
He used to steamroll a lot of people as well, but I think he was also pretty handy with a bit of a big plant in the hand on someone's chest or face.
Yeah.
And then I am going to go with probably the best of the modern era, and that's Greg Inglis.
Yeah, 100%.
Hard to go past big GI.
Yeah, you got to go. I'm going to start with GI as well. I mean, you can't overlook GI. I'm going to go with the Guru back in the day.
That famous try.
Great fend.
Famous try that he scored against Canterbury.
And you know what? His young bloke wasn't bad either. He had a pretty good fend as well. But the last guy I'm going to go to, Del spent a lot of time with, the great Pearl.
Kevy
used to give him out balls on, and he'd get on the outside of his defender, and just with speed, he'd burn him. And when they'd just turn and chase, he'd just go boom, and it was like, you know, you've been anointed, you know, and he'd touch him on the forehead, and he was that good. He used to generate speed off it. He'd time it that well that he'd push off, and then he'd give him another little burst, and he'd just run the length.
I remember when I first came in, and I had to play outside Steve Renoff, and in those two challenges matches, and I think it was against the Sharks. It was ET and Matty Rogers, and we just terrorised them down that edge. Like, it was like 2-on-1. Pearl just did what he wanted to do, and it was that good. It was amazing to play, and he was also really good off the field too with the young blokes. That's why I think we forget about him too. It was unbelievable to watch. But
well, you mentioned your good self, Wendell, which is, you know, justifiable. Yeah. You didn't mention your good self, Ryan Gurley. Yeah. We watched some vision earlier today of you in State of Origin scoring a try. Is that not true? With using a massive fend, you can actually go to Triple M NRL Instagram page. You can see the footage. This is vintage Ryan Gurley.
Where do I go, Tony?
Yeah. You'll be there all afternoon.
Yeah, I like the same. Like, yeah, it's always, you know, as a centre, and back in the day, they played a little bit of a different style. You know, you used to try and get on the outside of your opponent and do the same thing, you know, and as they'd turn and chase, you'd just try and push off. And
who did you push off on this occasion?
In the try?
I think that one. State of Origin try?
Might have been someone in this room.
Nah, Del was there, but he just watched. It was Darren Smith.
Yeah.
Smitty and I had some battles over the years, but
The hardest, when you're defending against someone like, I didn't defend you, but on the outside, because he glides so well and he times into that space, so, and then he's got the little flick pass, so it was always hard and very underrated, Gerds, too.
Yeah. Old school, Rod Reddy, Rocket was also pretty good with fan. Yeah. Ray Price copped a few of them over the years.
What about Tomalolo?
Who? Rod Reddy?
Yeah.
Was he?
Oh,
I think
big,
current
long arms. I mean, he was more like he'd just grab them and hold them off, you know, and then, you know, Artie Beats and stuff.
Yeah.
Your current Dragons coach, Mary McGregor, I seem to remember, he had a pretty handy fend as well.
Fend and step. Just reminded that, you've got to have a look at it, it's great. Go to Triple M NRL Instagram page, and the handle is MMMNRL to see that footage of Ryan Girdler and the Origin fend. That is best of the best, thanks to Mungle Boots. Plenty to come. Remember, Sterlo will join us later on in the show as we look forward to the Raiders taking on the Warriors. This is Saturday, Triple M, NRL.